You just don't want to talk, really.
I'm just about that action, boss.
It's About That Action with Wes Bryant and Patrick Ronan.
Well, well, well. Here we are.
It's too good to be true.
Too good to be true.
It was too good to be true.
We are now 2-3 days away.
Yep.
From an epic, monumental, unbelievable, fantastic, stupendous, whatever.
Adjectives galore.
Yeah, whatever you want to use, whatever superlatives you choose to use for this, we are now here at the ACC Championship game and the matchup that everybody wanted to see all year. The Canes swag you, yeah. Turnover chain, coming down and play the old blue collar, hard working Clemson Tigers right up the street from us. We have another picturesque view of the bushes.
Beautiful day. Beautiful day here in Charlotte, North Carolina. beautiful day.
Right up the road from us, though. We could walk to the stadium from where we are.
A mile up the road.
ACC Championship game this week. Miami coming off a loss. That takes a little bit of the shine off of it.
A little bit.
But regardless, this is still a huge matchup. And the winner is still going to the college football playoffs. Everybody thought the Canes were done after last week. But it was a mulligan for them. It would be.
Yeah.
And I always kind of like teams coming off a loss coming into these type of games, not giving away anything. But I'm here with my man Pat K. Reezy, aka Patrick K. Ronan. This is About That Action, and this is ACC Championship Week.
Finally, man.
Yes.
Finally.
So, I mean,
I feel like we've been waiting for this matchup for a month.
Let's get right to the meat and the potatoes. Did the loss for the Canes take any luster off of the game, or did it make you feel lesser about the Canes?
Both. 100% both.
Wow.
100%
both. Do tell.
I mean, just, we were talking about before we hit record. I mean, it's just a shame that they lost to Pitt. Because even though, like you said, it's definitely still a playing game for the playoff.
Yeah.
1-2, which is what it would have been. Miami would be 2 right now, or they'd be 1, and Clemson would be 2. Would have been epic. I mean, an all-time conference championship game across all college football in the history of the entire sport. So a little disappointing that, you know, instead of 1-2, we're getting 1-7 or 1-8. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, that's just Pitt exposed them on some stuff that it's just kind of...
Really?
I mean...
So you feel like the Canes got exposed.
I kind of do. I mean, it's hard to say you didn't when you ran the ball for less than 2 yards a carry. I mean, 23 carries for 45 yards, when that's kind of been your bread and butter a little bit because, you know, Rozier is a little here and there on the passing game and whatnot.
Yeah.
But it was rough, man. They did not look good.
Now, I heard an interesting thing this morning coming in on the radio. Damian Lewis, who, you know, is a Miami Hurricane,
mm-hmm.
Also was a guest on West Got Range
way
back when. But
subtle plug.
On YouTube.
Subtle plug.
West Brian Live. but he brought up an interesting point about that game as well. He said that Miami had played 10 straight games since the storm.
Mm-hmm.
And he said Miami was tired. He said he could tell by the way they were moving, the way they looked, that they were just a little worn out. And they had to play a day early.
Right.
After coming off a hard-fought game against Virginia. And then the two premium matchups that they had on their schedule, emotionally draining wins that they had, Notre Dame and Virginia Tech. You know what? I kind of buy into that a little bit.
Yeah.
Even though Miami, it's tough because Miami kind of did what they've been doing all year.
Right. And it finally caught up with them.
Yeah.
Almost. It finally caught up.
Yeah.
It'd be one thing. I'm kind of with you. I agree with all of those points, and they're all, you know, definitely factors into the loss. But, like, I'm just kind of more on that side of, like, we thought it was going to catch them at some point this year.
Yeah.
And then it finally did. In a game where you just really didn't expect it to catch him. You know, like, I don't know. I mean, some people were saying they thought that was a sneaky game.
We said on this one last week, my boy down in Florida, he called it.
Yeah, but almost it got to a point with Miami with me, though, where if you called that they were going to lose some unranked team, I was like, well, that's not that crazy of a call because mm-hmm. they've threatened to lose to unranked teams five times this year, you know? So, like, they've been on the edge. Eventually, they're going to jump, you know? But yeah, man, I'm just more so worried that if Miami brings even close to that same level of play to this game, it's going to be ugly. Because that, I mean,
But when you talk about the knock on them saying they play up or down to their competition, that's true. That's true. They're not going to play down.
No, they're not coming in.
Yeah. Plus the fact they're coming off a loss.
Yeah.
And they played on a Friday, so they got an extra day of rest. But Miami, I would be floored if they came in here and got rolled. Plus, to me, Clemson's not explosive, as explosive on offense to me to roll a team like Miami. So to me, I can't foresee that. But for me, that game, did it lessen my expectations? Now, if Miami, no, it didn't, because I'm big on psychology and sports. And I just feel like Miami still knew they had a chance to win the ACC, which they haven't done since they've been in the league. Mm-hmm. So I knew they still had a lot to play for. So I didn't think that that was going to affect their psyche going into this game. The fact that the last time they saw the Tigers, they just got outclassed in every which way of the word. Which, you know, when I'm thinking about all of this, it really has me wondering. You know, it's got me thinking about my pick.
Yeah.
Because I'm so big on psychology of sport and the fact that Clemson did come through and embarrass them the way that they did. Miami is a proud program.
Very proud.
And that loss was a low point for that program. Yeah. That was one of the lowest points for that program. You know the alumni, they took that one to heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because Clemson is a team that pretty much since the 80s has not been on Miami's level as far as caliber of talent,
right?
Level of program. So I could imagine this week the chatter is definitely, you remember what happened last time. Mm-hmm. We're not letting that happen again. What do you think about that?
I'm with you on those levels of the. I don't think Miami's psyche has changed coming into this game at all. And I'm kind of with you that I do think there is some validity to the argument or the discussion of does the loss in some way help them kind of get that out of the way and kind of regroup and refocus and all those things. Because, I mean, you know, if someone were to say, well, what's so different between, you know, Miami going to Pitt and losing versus Clemson going to Syracuse and losing? You know, they just happen to happen at different times of the year when, you know, Miami's is put under a bigger microscope. Which, like, yeah, I think you could say something about that. You definitely can. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you. I'm with you, though. I don't think it's going to change any of their – I don't think Miami is any less confident as a team or a program. I don't think Rick's any less confident in his guys now than he was Thursday before they played Pitt.
Do you think that's kind of like a basketball type deal, like where teams get in the NCAA tournament and before, like if you like the Kentucky team that one year when they almost went undefeated? Sometimes do you think a loss is good?
It's almost better. Because
they were on the nation's longest win streak at the time.
No, I mean, in a sense, I do think it is. And another, it's so late in the season at this point that I don't really think that the loss necessarily like is something. It's not in the same way as basketball, where you've won 30 games and it's like, all right, it's a, you know, it's a do or die. That first loss could ruin your whole season.
14 games is undefeated.
It's a lot. I'm giving them their credit, and I really do think they will be almost refocused after, because you'd have to imagine. You know, and maybe I'm just, you know, thinking on my own, but with the way Miami, you know, they're, like we said, they're a proud program. Yeah. They breed swagger. They encourage swagger and confidence and all that stuff. So after winning all those games, after being up there, you know, ranked number two, all this stuff, you'd have to imagine there are some pretty big heads in that locker room thinking that they were, you know, pretty darn good and that the stuff might not stink. Mm-hmm. But and I think that this loss, you know, probably brings, you know, the air out of the balloon a little bit, maybe brings them back down to earth, which I think could help them. But it's just, I don't know, I just keep seeing the Miami, they waver so much more than Clemson does when Clemson kind of stays on the beaten path, you know. So it's going to be tough. Like I think Miami's going to really have to bring it.
I'm so excited for the X's and O's of this game, because the talent level on the field is absolutely
tremendous.
This is the most talented ACC game that we've had. The NFL scouts will be in abundance.
Oh yeah,
at this game, because you're talking about, in my opinion, I mean, this is, it's not even in my opinion, two of the top five front sevens in mm-hmm. all of college football. Mm-hmm. They're built virtually the same very, across very the front. Similar,
yeah.
I mean, when you look at Miami's D-line, Chad Thomas, Joe Jackson, Big McIntosh, and Kendrick Norton, one of my favorite guys in the ACC. And then Clemson's D-line, three first-team all-ACC guys. And, you know, by the way, Albert Huggins and some of those other guys are pretty doggone good,
yeah.
you know, as well. But you're talking about, not to disagree, Cleveland Farrell, Austin Bryant, Christian Wilkins, and my man Big Dex.
Right.
Which four of them made all
those are four. Those are four first round picks.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And Dexter Lawrence is my favorite player in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just going to be tremendous. This is a man's game. There's no questions about it.
Yeah.
It's going to come down to, like you said, Clemson had to be licking their chops seeing how poorly Miami ran the football. And I think if you're Clemson, you look at this game. We'll talk strategy.
Yeah.
Which team do you want to be in? And I can, you can give a strategy for what you think is the key to success, and I'll get a key strategy. You want me to be the Canes? As I, got a lot of swag.
You can be the Canes. Okay. I'll be Clemson.
Okay. If I'm Miami, what I want to do is, for me defensively, the game plan is, I won't say it's fairly simple. But I know I have the ends to get the pass rush. I got the D tackles to collapse the pocket. I want to put this game in Kelly Bryant's hands. Because my secondary, I lead the nation in turnover margin. One of the nation's leaders in interceptions. I have ball hawks back there. We make things happen.
Right.
I want to limit Clemson's running game, put the ball in the hands of Kelly Bryant, and say, hey, win the game. Contain him in the pocket. But they have to keep Clemson because I've seen a lot of games where they can get first downs running the ball on 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, whether it be Kelly Bryant scrambling or they can run a run play.
Yeah.
So, but if I'm Miami, that's what I want to do. I want to keep Clemson behind schedule all night. If possible, and see just how good he is passing the football against my secondary. He's got 12 touchdown passes now. They've got the speed to get behind him between Ray McCloud, Deion Kane. Clemson's definitely got the guy. And T. Higgins is emerging.
Yeah, he's coming out of freshman. Like, coming out of nowhere.
Well, I wouldn't even say that.
For what he had done to this point in the season, I had him pegged coming
into the season as one of the freshmen who was going to be.
But he hadn't really blown up yet.
Yeah, exactly.
These past couple games, he
was a kid that came in with A.J. Green comparisons,
right.
And he's very much like him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, offensively, if I'm Miami, there's no question about it. My offensive line.
I remember my
high school JV basketball coach told us one day in a moment of sheer intensity, though we found it hilarious that sometimes you got to look down and see if there's a stem growing from the apples, okay? So when I say that, and you can imagine him telling that to a bunch of 15-year-olds, right. And that's trying to keep a straight face, you know what I'm saying, in the locker room. So that's one of the worst times of my life when he was coaching us, because he would say stuff that was so funny and we couldn't laugh.
You can't laugh.
Yeah, we couldn't laugh. And you sitting there like putting your face in your jump. And you don't want to look at you definitely digress.
You can't make eye contact with anyone.
You don't
want to
look at anybody else because it's over.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So the offensive line for Miami, it is parallel that they must come to play.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know if I'm Miami, my quarterback is streaky when it comes to passing the football. This is a chunk play offense. But I have to establish something on the ground and keep it running. And, oh, by the way, offensive line, your test is pretty, like I said, it's pretty daunting.
Don't know if you'll see a better one.
That's what I'm saying. When you're talking about four first-round picks.
Yeah.
These aren't just four
guys. Not NFL
guys.
Players.
Yeah, these aren't just four guys. Two would be undrafted,
these
free agents.
First-round
these are creme de la creme. Scouts would be looking at your draft tape against this.
Exactly.
These guys.
Exactly.
And, they got three pretty good linebackers behind them.
Right.
They can make plays, too. So, if I'm Miami, that's my game plan for success, as I have to be able to establish the run on first down. And defensively, I want to put the ball in Kelly Bryant's hands. And special teams, like I said, I you got a limit comes to two because they've got some dangerous guys. Ray McLeod on punt return is about, you know, statistically, he's kind of up there, but he's one of the most dangerous returners in the nation,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah.
All right. Coach Dabo.
I think thanks for tuning in today, guys. I think they're pretty similar game plans on both sides of both sides. Like if you're Clemson, I think your main focus on defense, stop the run, make them run the ball on you.
Yeah.
And on offense, take care of the ball.
Or you said make Malik Rozier.
Make Malik Rozier throw the ball. Yeah. Stop the run and make Malik throw it, because we've seen time and time again that he is, like he said, one of the streakiest quarterbacks in the AC. When he's good, he's really good. But when he's bad, he's pretty bad.
Yeah.
So, and it gets bad fast.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got
last Friday.
Like, exactly. I mean, among qualified quarterbacks, he's, you know, which is like, you know, certain amount of attempts in the season, he's got the second lowest completion set percentage in the ACC.
Yeah.
He's thrown the second most picks. At the same time, he's tied for the most touchdowns. He has the third highest quarterback rating.
And for the season, he's in the 50s.
Right.
Percentage,
yeah, 55%, which is brutal. Yeah. Yeah. Especially for a team that is as good as Miami or has done as well as they have.
Yeah.
So if I'm Dabo, I'm saying shut the run down. I mean, we'll take – and almost, you know, and again, we don't let the statue to death here on it. But there are some interesting statistics when you look at Miami's defense. They're, you know, they lead the nation in takeaways per game.
Yeah.
But their passing defense in terms of yards allowed per game is seventh in the ACC.
Yeah.
That's the middle of the pack. So they take the ball away, but they don't necessarily shut you down.
Bend but
the
not break.
Exactly. Yeah. So if I'm Clemson, I'm saying on defense, stop the run and make Malik Rozier throw. And on the contrary, that Clemson has the number one passer defense in yards per game in the ACC.
Yeah.
So their secondary is no joke.
Yeah.
And on offense, I'm just telling Kelly Bryant, just take care of the football.
Yeah.
If you even have the slightest, maybe throw it, maybe don't, throw it in the stands and let's relive another down and let's move on. Because Clemson has shown, Miami has shown, that if they don't turn the ball over, they are incredibly, incredibly beatable.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't get some takeaways.
Yeah.
And they thrive off that, you know? Like, that. I mean, their whole team, as soon as they get one takeaway and that chain comes out for the first time, it's on. It's on, baby. Everyone. The whole dynamic of the game. And it's even if Clemson could jump out 14-0 to start the game, and then Miami gets a pick and whatever and sets up some good field position, boom, you feel like it's tied. You know, you feel like it's back to 0-0. Because everything, I mean, there's so much momentum that comes with turnovers for them. And it's insane. So I'm telling Kelly Bryant, take care of the football. Take care of the football. Take care of the football, and we'll be just fine. I mean, if you were to tell me Miami's going to win that game without – forcing a single turnover, like if Clemson has no turnovers and Miami wins, I'm telling you, no chance.
Yeah.
Not a chance. Even if Clemson turns it over one time, I don't know if that's enough for Miami to get the win. So I'm telling Kelly Bryant, take care of the football, and I'm telling Venables on defense, shut the run down and make Malik Rozier beat us.
Give me the critical matchup, individual matchup for this game that you feel like that Clemson has to win.
I think I'm going heavy on the run, man. It's Travis Homer for me. If he doesn't get it going, they're going to be in deep trouble. Because I just do not trust – I don't think Malik Rozier has it to single-handedly take 3-4-step drops, you know, make a couple reads and beat them through the air. I don't think he has that.
Do you have an individual matchup like Kelly Bryant versus even though these guys aren't really going up against each other. But like a Jaquan Johnson that's like
see,
a center field on that defense.
Yeah.
And them playing a cat and mouse
game. I see what you're saying. I don't know if I could narrow it down to one guy versus what. I guess
sure.
I could say if I'm going to stick with Homer, I think it might be Homer versus Clemson's linebackers. Because if he can get through that first level, through that first round gauntlet of draft picks, can he make it? Is he going to make it a 4-yard carry because the linebacker is going to step up and make a play? Or is he going to chunk those into 8, 9, 12-yard carries where then all of a sudden Miami's offense is a totally different offense?
Yeah.
You know, like if they get that going where you think Homer can break out, you know, 6, 7 yards on first down, have a couple of big, you know, 12, 20-yard runs, stuff like that in that range, then Miami's offense is totally different, like totally different. But if he's getting stuffed and he's only breaking at most, you know,
okay,
4 or 5,
I'll make it easy.
He's in trouble.
Who is the individual that you think is paramount to their success. Now, not name Kelly Bryant, because it's always easy to pick the quarterback. Not name. You just, but, well, if you're Clemson, on the Clemson roster, who's the guy you think that needs to have a big game?
I might go with, like, I might go with Deion Kane.
I was just thinking that.
With how good or with how much Miami relies on their secondary to bring that it factor to the game, if they've got a go-to guy where you're like, man, he's getting open and he's bringing down balls every possession. He's bringing in a catch, whatever. That's going to get to Miami, I think, a little bit. And that's going to – especially if they have to start dropping in double coverages and, you know, doubling up on guys or whatever –
That's my guy. That's why we do the show together.
And we did not discuss that before. We did not. We hit record.
I was thinking, Deion Kane.
I think, yeah, I'd go with Deion Kane.
He's definitely going to be excited to go against his Florida brethren. Mm-hmm.
He's going to know plenty of guys on
I know Deion Kane was a huge, he was a huge recruit coming out of high school, so I'm sure Miami offered him. So it's not like it'll be that type of situation.
Right.
But he'll definitely be excited to go up against some of his homeboys.
Yeah.
For the Miami roster.
Yeah, let's flip it. Who you got?
Guy who has to have a monster game, it is going to be the Mike Backer, my guy, Shaq.
Shaq Q?
My guy. He's one of my favorite characters in college football, man.
Same.
He's such a warrior mentality. He is. Full of charisma. Mm-hmm. He's the classic Miami middle linebacker.
Tons of energy.
I think he's definitely going to be one of the best there is. So with that said, why is Shaq Quarterman the guy? Shaq, like I said, Clemson runs the ball. That's their bread and butter. Mm-hmm. He is going to have to be rangy. Now, this whole linebacking court, now that's going to be the interesting thing too. Clemson hasn't seen a defense like this.
Mm-hmm.
NC State had a great defensive line. But this front seven of the Canes, especially these three linebackers, are arguably the best linebacker core in the country. These guys are rangy.
Yeah.
And why is that important? Because on those 38s, 37s, when stuff breaks down and Kelly Bryant's trying to get out that pocket, you got three guys that you can play on all three downs or two that you can play on third down, and they can run around and make him feel.
Sideline to sideline.
Now, Kelly Bryant's a tough guy. He's not going to back down from anybody. No. But Shaq Quarterman is going to have to be an enforcer.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the guys in front of him to clear the path, and he needs to make sure that he is the linchpin in containing the Clemson running game. You know, he's just going to have a Mike Backer game. He's going to have to be like Dan Morgan and Ray Lewis and those guys. I'm talking 14, 15 to 20 tackles, whatever's necessary. But he's going to have to do that, and on third down, he's going to have to be the guy that's going to keep Kelly Bryant in check, which is hard to do.
Very hard to do,
you know, when a quarterback gets out of the pocket. But to me, he's the guy. And it's because I just love this matchup so much. We can go offensively for the Canes. I feel like that we need an Amon Richards game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's been trending back a little bit the past two or three games.
He's
been getting there, you know.
Oh, I got.
The past couple games, he's been.
And
more,
they
you look
need
at his
him.
Stat line, you see, all right, that's more of Richards like performance.
Now, they've got some guys, though. Young Thomas, they got some speed out there.
Mm-hmm.
That if I'm Miami, for one, I'm coming out guns blazing, I'm taking some shots.
Yeah.
I got Amon Richards. Now, they're going to miss Chris Herndon a little bit up in the middle, but this is the time for Michael to make his bones. I'm sure his father is giving him an epic
speech. My goodness. the money I would pay to be in on that phone call.
Yeah.
You know?
He's the guy because, like I said, Thomas in that slot. I could feel like he's going to make a big play because he's a very tough matchup in the slot.
Very hard.
And then, of course, Mr. Slot himself, Braxton Berrios.
Right.
But to me, Amon Richards has got to have an Amon Richards game. This is the game for stars to come out. We know the cliche, big-time players, yada, 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 yada.
But it's cliche for a reason.
Exactly. Amon Richards needs to play like Amon Richards tonight. You know, in the ACC, we had him ranked preseason as the number one receiver in the league. He needs to play like it.
Yeah.
He's got to come out because, like you said, with that running game, he needs to come out early and get a big catch, take the top off this
defense. Yeah.
But see, I think Clemson doesn't really care because their front seven is so good. They're like, we're not, you know, blitzing or doing anything exotic anyway. They just playing ball.
Right. They can play traditional straight up ball, and they got the athletes and the players to make that traditional straight up ball look like it's not traditional.
So offensively, okay, so you already picked for Clemson, but defensively for Clemson, who do you think is the guy?
Oh, man.
The catalyst.
I mean, geez. You could almost just say which one of those four guys on that line is going to have the huge game. You know, like, if you let one of those four guys get in there for two and a half sacks, four tackles for a loss, you're kind of done. You know, like, you're kind of done.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think for Clemson, I think it's just kind of – it's any of those four guys. It's usually – are they going to – can they get to – Rozier the way they've gotten to everybody all season long, which would be big on both sides. And I mean, they're tied. They're 1-2 in the ACC in sacks this season. Clemson's got 40. Miami's got 39. So they're right there with each other. But yeah, I mean, I think it's Clemson. If they can get to Rozier, because he's already, you know, he's already shaky, but then you start hitting him and whatever, and it's going to get a little bit harder to,
especially you get that
to stay in that pocket and make some reads and hit your second, third option, whatever it may be. If, you know, you've been hitting the back two or three times and put on your keister.
And taking some licks.
Exactly.
Like, it's
not,
hurt.
Exactly. You're not just getting knocked down. These aren't knockdowns. These are like blindside, you know, shoulder to the spleen kind of. You're getting smacked.
You're shaking out the cobwebs.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And those are just the ones that, you know, that count. He's going to let a few balls. He's going to have to stay in the pocket, stare down some of those huge dudes and take a lick and still make a quality throw. So It's going to be tough sledding for Malik Rozier. I mean, tough sledding. So I won't pick a single guy. I'm just saying any of those four guys on the line that are going to get off.
Who do you give a coaching advantage? Now, this may be a rhetorical question, but we got some pretty good coaching matchups here.
Very good coaching matchups.
I mean, you got Mark Rick versus Dabo. You got Manny Diaz versus Brett Venables.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you giving the coaching edge to? I think this is kind of an obvious answer.
Yeah, and I'm going to give you kind of the obvious answer. it's just, I mean, and even if you want to look at, like, you know, now that Clemson's been there enough times, they've done this, you know, whatever, Miami just hasn't. And even though Rick has a few times in the SEC, that was always his kind of knock at Georgia, was he can't win the big game. Was always his knock at Georgia. Because he did pretty much everything there except win the big game when they really needed it. So I have to give the coaching advantage to Clemson. Excuse me. It's just one is kind of obvious, I think.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Clemson's been there, done that. Their record against the top 15, the last 3 years, 11-1. You know, their record against the top 25. And, you know, like I said, they got the belt until somebody takes it. And they've been in position to get the belt the last 2 years. So the experience and the seasoning of this coaching staff is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is just all right, now let's go. This will be interesting to do. Let's do – before we get out of here, let's – break down position by position and say who has the advantage
as
a unit.
Okay.
I'll start with quarterback. Who do you give the nod to?
I got to go Bryant. I got to go Clemson.
Because
Malik's just too shaky for me. I feel like Kelly Bryant's worst compared to Malik Rozier's worst is
– Kelly Bryant could be pretty bad.
He can, but he hadn't done it as many times as Malik has. You know, like he's kind of been in between the, you know, like –
he's more stable.
Right.
He plays a safer game.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So, like, if you're on a scale of 1 to 10, Kelly Bryant's kind of been hanging out in the 5 to 8 range all year long, where Rozier has gone from, like, a 2 to a 9 in certain games. You know, like, one game he's way down there at a 2. The next game he's up there at a 9. So, are you, like which one are you going to get? So, I'd have to give that to Clemson.
Running backs. I think this is easy.
Running backs is, that one's obvious. Yeah.
They got backs.
Yeah. Which also, let's just not forget, what if Mark Walton wasn't injured?
I know. You know Mark Walton.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine being Mark Walton?
Now
he will probably come back. But God, you know it's killing him.
Oh, I feel so bad for that kid.
You know it's killing him.
So bad for him. Because, man, if he's playing in this game, it's a whole...
Yeah.
It is 1-2 matchup. And they don't lose a pit if he's playing this game because they struggled to run the ball.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man.
Okay. Receiving core. This is a good one.
This one's tough.
This is a good one.
This one's tough.
Receiver
core. Man.
Now we can go. Now I'm just going. I'm going to throw it out man for man while we decide. You're talking about your number one is
Richard
versus Deion Kane.
You can match him up almost exactly the
Bryson
same.
Berrios. I would go with. It is a tough one. But I would go with Clemson just because of the simple fact that my number one, I know, is a. Armon Richards is probably an NFL first rounder, too. But I got guys like that. I got Renfro, right, who I know I can count on, right, in the clutch. Now, Deion Kane will drop a few balls, but then you're talking about Ray-Ray. Ray-Ray can be a little skittish, too, but Ray-Ray's nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got young T. Higgins, stuff like that. I think their depth is a it is tough, but I would go with Clemson just over the fact that Deion Kane has been a little more consistent than Armon and shit, but Armon's been hurt and all that.
I think I really wanted to say Clemson, and I just thought I can't say Clemson for every single thing
it's
we're
hard,
doing.
It's hard, though, but it's hard.
It's tough, so I might have gone with
offensive line, I would go Clemson.
Clemson needs to, hands down. Yeah.
All right. Defensive line.
I'm still going Clemson.
Yeah, Clemson for sure. Even on Miami now, when we say that one, it's not by much.
No. It's like, you know.
Linebackers.
We're splitting hairs with the defensive lines.
Linebackers definitely came.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say definitely.
Not definitely, but that's the only position. But that and the second, I mean, it depends on how you look at their secondary. But that's one of the few that you would think Miami is probably.
I'll take Miami secondary and backers.
Oh, man, that's tough, man.
I think Miami secondary is definitely better than Clemson.
You think?
Yeah.
I think they have more playmakers, but they bend a lot more than Clemson bends, you know? That's interesting. I'll go with that. They get the ball. Yeah, and that's a huge part of defense is do you get the ball. So I'll ride with you.
So that's Miami's advantage in linebackers, defensive backs. They barely lose on D-line.
Special teams, what you got? I'm going Clemson on special teams for sure.
Special teams, yeah, I'm gonna go with Clemson too because, like I said, McLeod's very dangerous.
Mm-hmm. But Berrios is, you know,
he's decent, but he's not putting no fear in my heart.
Clemson's got some kicking woes though.
Oh gosh, yeah. How can we forget about the kicker? No, I'm going with Miami.
I'm going Miami because
Bagley's the better kicker.
Yeah,
if it comes down to it,
I do agree with you. I think kicking's more important than return.
That's huge. Mm-hmm. All right, so with all that said, now is the final. The moment of truth here.
Let's do one final boss of the week before we do some picks.
Okay. Who's your boss?
Even though we kind of didn't talk about a single other game.
ACC. Yeah,
But I'm gonna show some love to my man Kenny Pickett. The freshman quarterback steps in for Pitt, and like, I mean, the dude won the game. Yeah. Like you can't really say much more. He was 18-29, 193 yards and a touchdown. Then he added 60 yards on the ground and two more touchdowns on the ground. So he accounted for every single touchdown that Pitt scored, and they beat, you know, the number two team in the country hadn't been beaten. So I'm giving boss of the week to Kenny Pickett.
Okay, that's a nice pick. For my boss of the week this week, I am going to go with my boss of the week this week. I am going to go with my man AJ Dillon yet again.
Another
out there looking like young
game.
Bo Jackson, the ACC Rookie of the Year. I'm telling you, man, people think because he got the Boston College Uni on, they don't want to give it up. Yeah. If he played for Alabama running the rock like he's running, they would be saying, oh my God, he's the greatest running back of all time. Yeah. Put him in the first round right now.
Yeah, they would.
Telling you, AJ Dillon is a killer.
Yeah, he's a monster.
So
they got lucky with that one. He was committed to Michigan, and then he decommitted to stay close to home. And
could Michigan use him right now?
Oh, my goodness.
I know my uncle. All right, so
moment
of truth, baby.
Let's get to it.
What you got?
What are we doing here? Pick and
score.
Let's do pick and score. We'll add a score to it just because we don't want to make this. Let's make it a little interesting. I mean, if you've listened to the show to this point, you probably know who I'm picking.
Mm.
I'm going Clemson just because they're just the better team, and in my eyes, in most every category.
Mm-hmm.
And the categories that they aren't decisively better in, it's close enough that you can make the argument.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, the whole thing of experience, the big games, the leadership they have. It's just going to be really hard for Miami to win this game, in my eyes. I think they need Miami needs two first half turnovers if they want a chance. I just don't think they're necessarily going to get them.
Oh, our breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Sorry. Are we breaking news? Amon Richards was carted off the field during practice
today. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Oh.
Amon Richards carted off the
field. Whew. Man, that's almost.
So now you're going into this game minus him and Herndon.
Oh. Dang, that's brutal. Attack. That is brutal. Well, then I'm even further gone with Clemson as my pick to win the game because.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man, that's devastating for the Canes. That is really, really devastating for them. But, man.
Next man up.
Next man up for sure. But, yeah, I'm going Clemson. I just think they've got too much in every category. They're deep, they're experienced, they got level heads on them. It's a different swagger at Clemson. It's a different swagger. Mm-hmm. Like people think Clemson like doesn't have swag. When in my eyes, they're one of the swaggier teams in the entire country.
For sure.
It's just a different type of swag. Like it's kind of a proven, understood swag. Yeah. You don't have to really speak about it all that much. So yeah, I'm going to go with Clemson, and I'm going to go with a final score of. I'll go 27-10.
Mm.
Yeah, 10. I'm going 27.
Oh, wow. 27-10. Ramon Richards injury got you that bad? See, to me, he's been contributing, but to me, I think, me personally, especially in football now, the emphasis is placed so much on quarterbacks. If your quarterback's playing well, it doesn't really matter who's out there. Mm-hmm. I think Cager, what's my guy, Langham, some of those guys they've got those freshmen that'll be ready to step up. Berrios is still there. It's going to hurt, but I think it won't affect them that bad.
Okay.
Because Amon Richards, to this point right now, especially this season, he's done a lot of deep ball work and stuff like that. That's kind of been his thing, chunk plays.
Yeah.
I think they got guys who can do that.
Okay.
So that doesn't really deter me. I'm going to go with Clemson, though, the championship pedigree.
Yeah.
Clemson's one of those teams that, you know, you can rock with them until late, and then they make that play when they're up four. They make that play that puts them in good field position, and they score the final touchdown and end up winning by 11.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Clemson to get this one done. I'm going to go 31-27 in a thriller. A
lot of points. I like that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a thriller.
I'm hoping for your score more than my score.
27-10 would be an epic failure.
Yeah, and that means it'll be out of the question at halftime, which – like, I think there's a better chance Clemson wins by more than two touchdowns than Miami.
Yeah, don't let it be like the South Carolina game.
Yeah, that would be rough. Like, that would be rough.
Awful. Well, we'll see how it goes. Saturday night.
Yep.
You know
Saturday
what I'm saying?
Night. It is.
It's all going down. 8 o'clock. This has been another edition About That Action.
Yep. Be switching over to basketball here soon.
I know.
Lace up your sneaks, folks. Lace up your sneakers.
The Marvin Bagley hour.
Nah, no, easy, young. Let's let football ride out before we start talking about how good Marvin Bagley is.
Yeah, right? I know you're very frightened right now at the sight of him, but
can't even watch ESPN anymore.
Tell them where they can find you.
You guys can find me on Facebook, Patrick K. Ronan, or chirp at me on Twitter at PK_Ronan.
You can catch me on Twitter at West Guy Range, Facebook, Wes Bryant, and my YouTube channel, Wes Bryant Live. We will see you guys next week talking big time playoff talk.
Big time.
And ACC Bowl.
Be nice to people.
All right.